Good morning. What a beautiful day, and the sun is still shining. Do we have any birthdays today? Russ, did you have your hand up? Okay. How about anniversaries? Okay. We do have some prayer requests today. Rosemary's son-in-law, Dave, has been in and out of the hospital for the past 2 weeks, losing blood, and they can't find out why. Christina's dad has some heart issues. Rich Long is in the hospital. I would like to ask for continued prayers for the Beyer family. We're so glad to have everyone here today. Be sure to sign the attendance books that are found in the pews. Also, please give the yellow and orange cards to Pastor Sue. At this time, we will have praise song.
I have an announcement.
Okay.
You didn't see me standing?
No, I didn't.
I'd like to thank all of you here from the very bottom of my heart. Please keep me and my family in their prayers. It's the hardest thing we've ever gone through. There was nothing but compliments after compliments. It was my decision to have that funeral here. And you responded. It was wonderful. I want to thank everybody for cards, thoughts, prayers, flowers, food. Thus far, I've collected over $4,000 for Dominic. Yes. Thank you. I don't know what else to say, but thanks.
Thank you. Gayla has one, and then I have a few as well.
I have a great joy this morning and a little bit of a concern. We only have 4 slots left on the prayer vigil. And I'm going to tell you what those slots are, and this is the sign-up, and it will be at the back of the church. The slots are for during the night, which you will pray at home, which means you've got to set your alarm clock and get up. And one of them is at 2:30 in the morning on Wednesday morning, Ash Wednesday morning, very early, 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. Now, we filled all the rest of them, so we've got people praying at home during the night. And the only daytime one I have left that for people to come here into the church to pray is 3:30 on Ash Wednesday, this coming Wednesday afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon. So if you can sign up for any of those, we will have completed 48 people for a 24-hour prayer vigil in this church. We hope to keep it unbroken. So what that means is when you come into the church, if you somebody doesn't come to relieve you, you're going to get, if you sign up for the prayer vigil, you'll get one of these little bookmark reminders. And my phone number is on there. So if somebody doesn't come to relieve you, in order to have an unbroken prayer vigil, we will give me a call. I'll come up. If the pastor's here, she'll fill in if she can. So that we have somebody praying from this church for a complete 24 hours. If you've never done the prayer vigil before, we ask you to come in using that door, enter in silence, and leave in silence. You can give the person a hug that's coming in after you if you want to, but no, no speaking. We will have the kneeling bench up here if you want to come up and pray up in this area, or you are welcome to sit in your seats or kneel at the altar. We'll have prayer, little handouts about how to pray, some things maybe to help you during that time. It's only a half hour. You're going to find that that half hour will go by so fast that you can't believe it. So I want to thank all of you for this. And if you come for the prayer vigil, you will be rewarded.
Thank you. Here's this other sheet. Just a reminder that Tuesday also we start with the Shrove dinner, 4 o'clock. Come and eat. We'll have pancakes. It's a donation. And then Wednesday, when we conclude with the prayer vigil, 7 o'clock, we will have a service. It is a mission zone service, so 7 churches should be represented. We are the host church. Please make sure that we have the majority of the people come and make sure that we're the most. And also, if you want to sing in the choir, even though you don't want to sing maybe in this choir, but you like to sing, we're going to practice at 6:30 and do a song out of the hymnal. So come and join us, choir practice downstairs. Let us now worship our Lord.
One other announcement for some of you that are forgetful like I am. Next Sunday, we spring ahead with our clocks. So we will be here kind of an hour earlier. So before you go to bed Saturday night, move that clock ahead an hour. At this time, we are going to sing He is Exalted, followed by Holy Ground. we'll have the call to worship. May the time of worship be for each of us a mountaintop experience in which we behold the glory of the Lord.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today.
Remember when we came down, when we come down from the mountain, the world and all its problems still awaits us.
May we be so inspired and strengthened by this worship experience that we will go from this place to serve our Lord by ministering to his people. Amen.
Please continue to stand, if you're able, for hymn 2202, Come Away With Me.
Be seated, and it's time for our children to come up for a message. Want to come on up? Good morning. How's Jimmy this morning? Hi, Johnny. How are you? Good morning, ladies, gents. How are you? You good? Hey, how are you, Sparkle? Are you Sparkle? I like that. Look at that dress. Come on over. There you go. How is everybody?
Good.
Had a good week? Yeah? And you got a frog too? I saw somebody else having a frog earlier. I think they must have gone to the nursery. Yeah. So, we're going to talk about visitors coming to your house. Maybe special guests. Have any of you had visitors or special guests come to your house? Yeah? Yeah? That's it? They're coming? Yep, they've been there. What do you have to do to get ready for them?
Clean.
Clean. Yeah, I have to clean too when visitors come. What else do you have to do? What else do you think you might want to do? Your frog got away? Make sure you got your frog. What else do you think we can do besides clean? Any ideas? No, I'm hearing that, or not hearing that. Yeah. How about maybe get something for them to eat? Have a snack? How about something to drink? Food. That's right. Get some food, get some drinks. Well, today we're having a story. Jesus took three of his disciples. He invited them, Peter, James, and John, to go up on a high mountain with him. And up there, Jesus was talking to them and telling them about his death, that he was going to die on a cross and that he was going to rise again. And he met Moses and Elijah. You ever heard those names? Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament? Yes, Moses. Elijah, maybe not yet. You'll hear about Elijah later then, okay? And so he took these visitors up the mountain, Peter, James, and John. He took them up there, and he talked to them. And he had to prepare them, you know, prepare for them. And we're going to talk more about that in the message this morning. But I want you to know, when you have visitors that come, you want to have your house ready, right? You want to make sure it's clean. You want to make sure you have something to eat, maybe have something to drink. But what is the one thing that you really want to make sure you do when they come? Got any ideas? What do you do when people come over? You guys are all so quiet this morning. Do you talk with them?
Yeah.
Do you play with them?
Sometimes,
depending on if they're coming for you or for your sister, for mom, right? Yeah. All right. So when people come, you want to communicate with them, and you also want to listen to what they have to say. And we're going to talk about listening today. How do you listen? With your ears. And you have to be quiet. That's why we just sang that song, Come Away With Me to a Quiet Place. Because if we're talking to each other, sometimes we, you know, or if we're in a crowd, we can't be hearing Jesus, can we? No, so we have to go to a quiet place. So, all right. So can you find Jesus this week? Yeah? Jesus is with you all the time, isn't he? Yep. And you have to listen to him, right? Yes? You have to listen to him. You have to listen to mom and dad too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God,
help me
to listen
to
mom and dad
and
to you.
In
Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, here's your bulletins. So a couple for you that way. And Riley, I think there's probably extras this week. You want to pass those out. Make sure everybody has one. There you go, Mal. There's yours this week. Yep, I'll take extras. All right. Thank you. Now, before we go to the choir, I added something in the bulletin that's not in the bulletin. So, I have that privilege. Actually, we talked about it, and I think the bulletins had already been run. And we talked about it at the Thursday morning knitting group and crochet group and 10 o'clock group. That's what that is in your bulletin. When it says 10 o'clock group, it is we come and we make prayer shawls. And so today we have four prayer shawls up here, and they're going to go to certain people. And, you know, you're always welcome to join us at 10 o'clock. I don't knit very well, but, you know, it's not what it's about. It's about the fellowship, but more importantly, it's about giving these to someone as they've been blessed and prayed for. So we're going to bless them and pray for them right now. Let's go to our Lord. Holy and gracious God, we ask, Lord, that you bless these prayer shawls, that they may be used to encourage and strengthen, to bring comfort and peace to those who receive it, and to know that they are being bathed in prayer by these people, your people in this church. And to the families that receive them, Lord, we ask that you just pour out your Holy Spirit on them, that they may be blessed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This one I'm holding especially is for Dominic. And so we're going to give it to you, but we also have one for Linda, and I want to bring that to her personally. This one's for him.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now the choir can sing, so I have to get back up here so we can sing. Break the bread.
Wasn't that beautiful? What a joy we have with the choir that we have. Thank you. Our Old Testament reading today is from Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went to speak with him again. May God add his blessings upon the reading of the word. At this time, we will sing 349, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Remain seated. Before I pray, I want to read a letter that came from Bishop Bard. You know that General Conference met and they have finished. And the result of that was to stay with the traditional church. Let me read the letter from our bishop. Sisters and brothers in Christ in Michigan United Methodist Church, the much anticipated special called session of the General Conference has come to an end. The days leading up to the General Conference were filled with hope and prayer. Not all the hopes were realized, as people had differing hopes. Not all the prayers were answered in the way people hoped, because people were praying for different outcomes. The United Methodist Church will maintain its stance on human sexuality. In addition, enhanced enforcement provisions were approved as a way to encourage pastors, bishops, and churches to follow disciplinary requirements. The plan encourages those who disagree with this position to consider leaving to form another Methodist dominant organization. It is not yet clear which of these provisions will be ruled constitutional or how they may be implemented. What is clear is that many LGBTQ persons find this language hurtful and feel it leaves them on the margins of our church life. We need to acknowledge that hurt and pain and sadness, which is shared by their family members. People who were hoping for more space for LGBTQ persons are deeply disappointed. I invite us to remember that our Book of Discipline acknowledges that all people are of sacred worth, and that remains fundamental. The plan approved will likely mean additional conversation and perhaps voting at annual conference. But again, much remains to be sorted out. We need to acknowledge the entire range of feelings people are experiencing and the varying reactions people are having. I would invite us to acknowledge the reactions without becoming reactive. Part of being human is to know what it is like to experience a gut level flight or fight response. I invite us to move through that to a fuller human response that engages our feelings, our thinkings, our pondering, and our praying. If you feel need to take some action about your place within the United Methodist Church, I invite you to wait. Nothing needs to be done right now. There are many unanswered questions that need to be answered. I will communicate more in the coming days and weeks, providing additional information about what happened and possible next steps. In inviting us to a more fully human response, I am inviting us to reach deep into our hearts and souls to embody Christian virtues of a humble mind, tender heart, mutual affection. St. Irenaeus once wrote that the glory of God is a human person fully formed, fully alive. In this difficult moment, we may give glory to God by and in God's grace, calling forth our best and deepest selves. Grace and peace, Bishop David A. Bard. Bishop is meeting with us clergy on Saturday in Midland to discuss this and see what next steps are. If you have questions, I'm open to be able to discuss with you any of your feelings and thinking. I want to keep my colleagues in our churches of the United Methodist Church in our prayer, for many are hurting this morning, figuring if they even belong to the United Methodist Church. I want this church, and I want you to know, we need to be there for God's people, all of God's people, all are of sacred worth, and we need to open our arms and love each one of them. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, sometimes we don't always understand our world around us. A world that is hurting in more ways than one. Whether they're parishioners or clergy or bishops. It's sad to see that we can't come together as one body of Christ and believe in you and act in the same manner. Lord God, in this difficult journey in the United Methodist Church, we pray that you will bathe us, guide us, lead us. Help us to listen to one another, to reach out and encourage one another, to be there as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we give you our bishops, Lord, as they make decisions of how these next steps need to go and what is going to happen in the United Methodist Church. Lord, this is a big issue, but so is life. And there are some that we have lifted this morning who are hurting. Maybe they've fallen on the ice. Maybe they're in the hospital. Maybe they're recovering from surgery, facing surgery. Maybe they're depressed. Lord, some financial situations come and arise. Aging parents. Lord God, we need you. So no matter what, Lord, I pray that we will continue to be the church, to be your hands and feet, to help one another, to be there for one another, to hold up one another. And Lord, we thank you that you hold all of us all the time. And Lord, when we fall and we fail, we thank you for your forgiveness. For you died on the cross for us, that we may be forgiven. And may we also forgive others. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together to say, Our Father. So this morning we turn to our word, the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. Encourage you to join me. Chapter 9, verses 28 to 43. Hear these words. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. 2 men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the 2 men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son, whom I have chosen, listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met them. A man in the crowd called out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. Today, Transfiguration Sunday. If you've noticed, we've changed to white as Jesus was shown in brightness and like thundery lightning. Purity. He's the Almighty. So we change to white on our cloths. And in our scripture here in Luke, he says, oh, about 8 days. After he said this, but he doesn't say what this is. So two clarifications on this. As I read commentaries and as the other gospels, they all say 6 days. And this one says about eight. About eight really means the first day of the week. Go figure. 7 days in a week, the eighth day. First day of the week. What is he talking about? I said this. He had just been with him and talking, and he's talking about his prediction of his death for the first time. I am going to die. I'm going to be crucified, suffer, be buried, and rise again. So when he takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, it also doesn't say what mountain. There could be possibly three mountains, but this one is not named because where it is as important as what they're talking about. Could have been the same mountain that Moses, that we read in the Old Testament reading, Mount Sinai, but most likely not. Mount Carmel was farther out of the way, and some of the others that they listed may have not been as high as this one. It's a mountain, which there's lots of mountains in Israel. So Jesus takes his three disciples, his closest friends, to be with him, to share this moment once again that he will be transfigured. Now, a lot of us going, what in the world do we mean by Transfiguration Sunday? What does transfigured mean? I was actually going to ask the kids that, and I forgot. To be changed, to alter one's presence. And we know that in the scripture, it tells us that Jesus' presence was changed. He glowed. He was radiant. He shined like a flash of lightning, it says. Brilliance. To be changed, not in who his character is, but in looks. In revealing, and that was the purpose of this, it was for him to be revealed to his disciples of who he is. Now, if we know some of the scriptures that we've heard before, we know Peter has said to him, yes, you are the Messiah. You are the one. Yet he's taken Peter, James, and John up there, and still, they may not still get it. And so he wants to show them, they're his closest friends, of who he is, that he is God's son. And in this time up on the mountain, God speaks through the cloud. This is my son. And he's really trying to speak to Peter. Peter, do you get it yet? But also to James and John, and to us. This is my son whom I chose. Who I have chosen. You need to listen to him. You need to listen to him. But But did you also notice that in the story, the disciples were pretty sleepy? Now, I'm thinking they've gone up this high mountain. They're probably tired. It doesn't tell us what time of day it is, but they probably are pretty tired. And Jesus is preaching again and talking, and like some people that do in church, they fall asleep. Not any of you here, though. But you know, you get comfortable, you've been working, they're up there, they're tired. We're also going to coordinate this with the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said, you stay up and pray while I go pray to my Father. And what happens there? They fall asleep. What happens when we're praying at home sometimes? Fall asleep. It's part of human nature. And Jesus is like, what is wrong with you? Not quite that. That's my words. But here we are, standing in the glow of Jesus with his disciples. And Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament are standing there for the beginning part. And then they leave. But Peter, being Peter, you got to love Peter. If you know anything about Peter, he likes to speak before he thinks. Any of us like that? Kind of put your foot in your mouth? I've done it. I continue to do it. It's like Peter did the same thing. We are no different than these disciples who walked with Christ. So Peter says to Jesus, well, let's just make three booths for him. Let's make a shelter. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and of course one for you. And I'm thinking, yeah, and there's three more of you. Where are your booths? And Scripture tells us he did not know what he was saying. That's not what it's about, Peter. Not what it's about, James or John. But of course, it was Peter that said it. Peter was also probably thinking of the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's go on. Let's make you a booth and have this shelter for you, and we'll just stay a while. Well, they were only going to stay till the next day anyway. They did not need that because God doesn't need that. And they're with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The point Jesus was trying to make here is that I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And God tells them personally, listen, listen. Then they think, well, we're not going to go and tell anybody. We'll just go down quietly the next day. Scripture actually says this next part is actually in parentheses. It can be added, it doesn't have to be added, but it's added to strengthen the story of who Jesus Christ is. So they go down the mountain, and a father approached them about his son who's in convulsions, who is having health issues. Lord, please help me. The rest of the disciples who are down here, and maybe the three that were with them, couldn't do anything. And I love these words. You unbelieving and perverse generation. Oh boy, are we in trouble. Because are we not the same? Saying, I'm not sure God can do this. I'm not sure I can. And I thought about myself as I go and I heal or, you know, pray for people to be healed. Or I anoint them. I have to be believing that God is going to do the work. He's just using me as his hands and feet. But what happens when it doesn't work? Is it not working because I'm not believing? Am I part of that perverse generation now? I really hope not. But how many of us, and I'm, you know, the finger's pointing back here, okay? How many of us, myself included, try to do things on our own? Are we all not guilty? Oh, we can fix this. "Oh, we'll just take care of these, you know, take this medication and it will be all set." Right? And the last thing we do is go to God and say, "God, we help us." And we plead. Well, God knows what's going on, but did we go to God first? Not necessarily. And maybe we did. And sometimes when I heal and pray for healing, I know that I'm praying for healing of God's will, not my own. And sometimes healing comes in the form of death, unfortunately. They are healed. God answered a prayer. It's just not in the way that we want it answered. Do I understand that? No. But there's too many times I see even myself in this scripture of, "I'll do it my way." Wrong. But I'm human. So are Peter and James and John. And that's part of the process here in this scripture to let us know that all of us are human beings, but God Almighty in His Son Jesus Christ is the one that we need to follow and that we need to listen to. Now, as we go in Lent, Lent starts on Wednesday. As we go through this Lenten journey, it goes Wednesday to Holy Saturday, which is the Saturday before Easter. It is for us a time to reflect, a time to look within ourselves, a time to look and say, "God, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it you want our church to go? What is it, Lord?" And it's a time for us to get on our knees and pray. That's part of the prayer vigil. That's part of the spiritual disciplines that are offered to us every day, but that we should really take seriously in this 6 weeks as we go through Lent. To be in prayer, to be in worship, to be in our Bible, studying the Word, to do our devotions, to praise God. It is a time for us to reflect, and it's a time for us to come to a quiet place and listen. Isn't that what he's saying in our scripture today? Listen to the Son. I don't take enough time to listen to God. I'm in prayer. I'm in the Word. I do my devotions. But so many times, it's like, okay, we're done. And I don't sit and take the time to go, "What, God, what are you saying to me?" Sometimes when I'm in my car, sometimes I really like traveling because I can turn the radio off and I can be in prayer with God and really, truly listen. But folks, there's some times I don't listen well. This passage really struck me this week. That's one thing I need to do in this Lenten season is to grow in my time together to listen to Jesus Christ. He is the Almighty. He is the Son of God. Whatever is happening in your lives, whatever is happening in the United Methodist Church, we need to go to God in prayer. Amen? And we then need to bathe ourselves in a quiet place and listen to see what He is saying back to us. I encourage you. I pray for you. I encourage you that this season of Lent, that you help keep me accountable to the time that I spend listening to God. And I hope I can keep you accountable to the spiritual disciplines, worship, prayer, devotional life, study, worship, praising. Help us one another to keep accountable in our Christian journey that we may grow deep and closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus sat with his disciples many times, but it was on this Last Supper that he sat with them before he died. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And every time you partake of it, remember me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is the new covenant. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins, all sins. And every time you partake of it, remember me." Today, as we come and partake in our Holy Communion, may it be one of our spiritual disciplines. It's a sacrament that we come and we receive from Jesus Christ, his gift of his body and his blood shed for you and I. Let us pray. God, we ask that you bless this gift of bread and juice and make it be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, symbolically knowing that he is with us, for us, and always here, and that we can remember what he has done for us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Those helping to serve, if they would please come forward. And as they come, I want to remind you that as you come, that you will, you guys couldn't go that way, that this is an open table, that all are welcome here. You do not need to be a member of this church. It's open for all. Come, the table is open.
Thank you.
the ushers would now come up for our morning offering, and also to let you know there's still two slots, 7 and 7:30, open for the prayer vigil. Ushers, please. Lord God, we ask that you bless these gifts in those who have given and those to who receive, that they may be used for the kingdom of God here on earth and be faithful and obedient to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So on our closing song, we're going to do verse 1, but you have to pull out your hymnals because we found that the verses don't match what we have in our books. So 451, Be Thou My Vision. We're going to do just verse 1. 451. Come join us on Tuesday for Shrove Pancake Dinner, but especially I pray that you will come and be here for Ash Wednesday at 7 o'clock to be able to kick off our Lenten service. As the acolyte is coming for the light, I'm going to also pray for the food because today is Potluck Sunday, and I forgot, but we're going to go downstairs and eat, and I'll bless the food, so let's pray. Lord God, we ask a blessing upon this food to nourish our bodies, and we pray, Lord, that we continue to be your hands and feet, to love one another, to reach out, and to give hope to all, that you are truly our vision. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Go in God's peace.